Episode number 30 coming at you. I've been slacking lately. I got Bundy with me. He's lost some weight. He's got some tattoos. Looks a little different.
A little tan.
Oh, Bundy's got a tan. No, Bundy. Bundy's not with us. Bundy had a little accident. He was out on a jet ski, and he was out all day on the jet ski, and he hit one of those. He's in the ocean. He hit one of those things. What are those things where you're like? A dinghy. Yeah, he hit a dinghy.
A dinghy was a shock. I don't know what it was. It was a dinghy.
He hit a dinghy, and the dinghy got fucking obliterated. But Bundy just got a little scrape on his knee. No, Bundy is sick. He's got like I get whenever I get back from vacation. He's got like some Montezuma's revenge. He's been on the toilet all day. I tried to get him to come, and he wasn't feeling it. So tonight I got somebody I've known you for a while, right, Ralphie?
Jesus Christ.
It's been a long time. I got my friend Rafi with me. It's Raphael originally, right? But he just became Ralphie, right? Pretty much?
No, I've been Ralphie first and then Raphael. No.
All right. Rafi, whatever it is, I got Rafi with me tonight. He's my guest tonight. I guess you could say he's filling in for Bundy. I was planning on bringing him on with, you know, all three of us with Bundy, and last second, Bundy couldn't make it. I was away. I went to Florida for 5 or 6 days. I did a podcast out there. A guy called me up, and he asked me to come on his podcast, and it's a pretty big podcast, and I did that. He wanted me on over the Sean Hicks thing. I really, you know, I'm not even speaking about him anymore. I mean, what's done is done. But he kind of got a little almost scammed by this guy, because this guy who's got this podcast, he's got a pretty interesting story. He did a lot of time in federal prison. He stole, I think it was $20 or $25 million.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he was on what's that show? American Greed. They have an episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's real.
They have an episode on him on American Greed, on Dateline. So what this guy would do, he would I think he'd scam, like, say he owned a property. He'd forge documents to say he owned a house. And then he would go and take out a huge mortgage against the property, inflate its actual net worth, and take out these monster loans. And then he would just skip town, and they ended up when they ended up going to get him and indict him, he went on the lam, and he was doing it all across America. He just kept doing this game scam over and over again. And so this Sean Hicks reached out to him, and Sean Hicks's team, saying they wanted to option the rights, story of his life, and make a movie. I sound some bullshit.
That's
so
crazy.
So that's why he reached out to me, and that's why I was away, and I did that. And then my daughter actually had to go to a wedding out there, so I was in Florida for a little bit, and that's that. And in my absence, a lot of stuff happening lately, Rafi.
So that Hicks guy, did he go to jail? Or?
Speaking on the microphone.
Did he go to jail?
No. You know, have you been watching? Do you know that?
No. I can't wait till they say, hey.
No. The Hicks.
Biden off. See you later.
No, Hicks should be in jail. He should be doing fucking life in jail as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, life.
But no, he isn't in jail, but he's a piece of
That's a lot.
Yeah, so.
It's a lot of money, man. That's
of
crazy.
Course, everybody in the world's talking about Trump. What the fuck happened?
This is a big setup with that guy there.
What? I mean,
that's unbelievable.
You know, I don't want to be this conspiracy theorist.
No.
You know, I really don't. I'm not that guy. Oh, it's this big plot and everybody's in on it. But man, when you see that kid and say, how could a little kid like this climb up on a roof with a gun and a scope 150 yards from Donald Trump and get off a couple of shots?
He was up there long enough to get a nice tan. I think he probably took a nap up there too.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but you know, there's a lot of people who are like, fuck, You know what I mean? He was that close to just being assassinated in front of our eyes. And the funny thing was, I was on a plane, and there was a delay on the tarmac, and there was no TVs on. And someone messaged me and said, Trump just got shot. And nobody on the plane knew. I mean, that was my moment to record it and stand up and just scream that out, you know? It would have been bedlam. And I told the girl next to me, and she was like pulling it up on her phone, and she's like, oh my God, this really happened. And I mean, it was one of those moments, right? I mean, it's one of those moments you're not going to forget, you know? So the girl next to me, so I'm like, oh, let me see. And Tucker Carlson was the first one to post that picture.
Tucker Carlson, yeah.
And I posted the picture of him, you know, pumping his fist with the blood running down it. And I put the DMX song, you know.
That was nice. Yeah,
we're not going anywhere. We're right here. Nice. And I put that on. So I'm talking to this girl, and we're going back and forth. And afterwards, she's like, you know, you were my entertainment for this flight. I mean, it flew by, the flight, because, you know, we're just talking about that. And then, you know, I was posting on my Instagram. She goes, oh, what's your Instagram? And so I said, oh, you know, being Shooter 69. And all of a sudden, she looks at me and goes, who the fuck are you? I go, I am Bean Shooter. Yeah. No, she says, like 30 people I know follow you.
All right. Yeah.
She's like, wait a minute, my husband's brother apparently is a huge fan of yours. So by the end of the flight, I think her name was, we had become fast friends. And it was pretty cool. But yeah, getting back to that whole thing, I don't know what the fuck happened. But could you imagine, like, you know, you still see the footage of the Kennedy thing, right? Could you imagine if he just, his melon just,
Jesus,
imagine
Christ,
if he just got sniped? I mean, but I don't know how that fucking happened, you know? That was absolutely bananas.
Like right now, see all the people stranded, Wi-Fi and flights and everything.
What happened with that? What happened today with that, Justin?
They say it could be a cyber attack.
They try to make it look like, oh, whatever. Yeah. It's cyber attack. That's what it is, yeah.
Everything's down. Hospitals, fucking
banks, you can't take no money out.
Hey, this might be the test before they fucking start a world war on us.
Yeah, like that movie that what's his name, Obama did there. And it's showing everything. The Wi-Fi. What was the name of that movie?
That's scary, huh?
That is crazy.
If that's what it is, that's scary.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
But, Sean Hicks, he sucks. I already covered that. Celtics, Trump. We get to my friend Rafi here, who I met Rafi when was I in prison when I think when I first no
no wait when did I meet you?
Gotta be the 90s.
A couple of times I met you.
Definitely the 90s, right? Rafi.
It was the 90s.
You. When did you move to Massachusetts? How old were you?
Jesus Christ. I got here 5 years old.
Really?
So I've been here.
Boricua?
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Puerto Rico?
Oh, yeah.
Came from Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico, 5 years old, in the blizzard of 78.
No way.
Blizzard of 78.
Damn, you're old. You were alive then, too? I remember it, actually. Man, I thought you were a lot.
Can you imagine if we had that much, like when it rains now, it doesn't rain like 2 inches, three, it rains like a foot, 2 feet. What's the difference when one snowflake equals like one, like 10 snowflakes equals one drop of rain? And Jesus, we'll have like 80 feet of snow here. That's crazy.
Yeah, there's no more snow. There's no more snow. But when I met you, I think you were partaking a little bit in the snow yourself. I don't know how many drips of water it takes to.
I got out of
prison in 1999 around Christmas, and I remember, you know, meeting you, getting to know you a little bit.
1999, wonderful year, yeah.
Yeah, getting to know you a little bit then, and we got to know each other a little bit, and
I went to Fran.
My aunt, my cousins.
Somebody's making sure that you're okay. I'm knocking on the door, and somebody answered. Somebody looked through the thing. I forgot who that guy was, a little apartment building. He said, hey, this big Puerto Rican guy is looking for you. Oh, I'm okay. Well, took off, whatever. Who was that guy was, man? Big guy there.
I don't know, but
I think he was in the movie there for Lowell or whatever.
Oh, but I was with Boo Boo.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah.
High on Crack Street.
Yeah,
and
the
fighter.
Big Spanish guy looking for you.
Yeah.
I said, oh, whatever. You okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Franny, you're all set.
Yeah, that's when my aunt would be worried about me. I was living with Boo Boo. God rest his soul, man. That was my guy, Boo-Boo, you know? So I got to know you then. And, you know, you're always a hustler, always making money, always, how do I say this?
Basically, I started the gym at your place downstairs. Nice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he, years later, he came in my sober home. But before that, you know, you were always around and you were always a real likable guy, you know? Everyone, you were like one of those guys where wherever I go, you know, you were the life of the party. Always very, very outgoing.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, the life of the party. Just one of those guys who just, you know,
you got to get along. Have a good time,
you know,
man.
I met someone the other day and she was a probation officer in Roxbury District. And she said, you know, some people you meet, she met me and it was a compliment. You know, she goes, you know, some people you meet just got good energy. You can feel it.
Yes.
Like, yeah. She goes, I feel that with you. And I was like, that's so cool. But saying that, that's how you were. Just good energy. Like never that guy starting fights or talking shit about people. You just, you know, want to have a good time and you always hustled and made money, which is, you know, I respect it as you do now. You're a hard worker. Now it's now it's not the easy money as much, but you're still a money maker, you know?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit how your money making got you in a little bit of trouble and where that led you and where you are now.
Well, what did I go in for? Trafficking. Went into trafficking. That's class B. That's, I remember when the judge told me, you got something to say? But, you know, give you a sentence and stuff. I say, yeah, I got something to say. You want to know something? I've done millions and millions of good things. And I get arrested for one bad thing. Come on, give me a break.
You just told him just like that, huh?
Give me a little break. I remember that was 3 to 5, and then it was, 5 to 8. Man.
Did they give you a from and after, or did they just give you a 5 to 8?
5 to 8, 3.5, Mandel. But I remember what place was that? In Plymouth, Massac. It used to be Forest.
Yeah, Plymouth Forestry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right there, it was like a little trial thing with civil commits. They handpicked 20 inmates. I don't know how. But at 1 o'clock in the morning in Cedar Junction, took us all, brought us down. They didn't even put no tires up or nothing. Took us there. I said, what's going on here? It was a trial for civil commits, yeah. In that place, oh my God. Anyway, it was being like a trial thing and they were trying to sell it and everything. So long story short, I missed my parole like 5 times. Because every time, I went out, the parole office trying to come.
Yeah.
They said, no, we can't do it that day because we're going to be closing and whatever. I said, what the hell? Remember, you were holding my spot for like 1,000 years?
Yeah.
That was crazy, man. When I finally got to see parole, I ended up being in at the farm. And they said, hey, your parole. I said, wait a minute. Jesus, you should have seen parole like 5 times. What happened? Man, finally let me out. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
First thing was a Big Mac, and they got a lot smaller and a lot more expensive.
You know, it's funny that when I just did that podcast with that guy, we talked about it, and I said, you know, it's not like I was ever, you know, some people grow up, they don't got food on the table, right? I'm fortunate where, I wasn't like that. You know, there was always food around. I'd say, you know, if you grew up in the United States, you should have had food. I mean, you can go out and fucking steal it. You know, but some people, you know, go hungry. And I've seen it where the parents are on drugs and there's no food in for the house with the little kids. And it's bad. But I said, you know, I never really thought of, you know, when you say, it makes your mouth water. To me, that was always just a saying, really, until I started getting locked up. And then after you're in a while, you know, you see, I was saying in the podcast, I saw a commercial on TV and it was just a Burger King thing where they're like cooking a Whopper on the flame broiled, right? With the fire up, and my mouth just, I was salivating. I'm like, holy shit, that's a real thing, you know? Your mouth water. And I said that to him, and I said, you know, when you're in prison and you're a guy, or you're a heterosexual guy, whatever you may be, you think, what's more important? You know, you want to get out, you want to get laid, you want to have sex, you want to eat good food. But to me, it was like, I don't know which one was first, because I wanted a steak so bad and a burger and like you just said, a Big Mac. That guy in the podcast, he was in federal prison for 13 years. Oh, and he just said, I just wanted a McDonald's cheeseburger. He's like a little McDonald's cheeseburger. He goes, I thought about that for fucking 13 years. And I'm like, you know, it's funny the things you think of. Like he said, he got out. He said, I wanted a fucking Big Mac, you know?
I remember the CEOs come at the late shift and they open up the Pepsi. I say, oh my God, it's a beer. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
I remember being in the hole in Concord. I was a CEO and I just saw him the other day, Kevin Scott. He's one of the good ones, you know. And I was I was down in the hole and I'm detoxing. He come by and he's talking to me through the crack. And I got arrested for a bank robbery. And he said, there's a thing in the paper saying you're a suspect in another one. And he's talking through the door. And all I could smell is like blackberry brandy.
Yeah, well, you're smelling and stuff.
I said, listen. Yeah. I said, Kev,
blackberry
listen.
Blackberry brandy, nice.
Go grab me a nip and just fucking drop it and kick it under the door. And he's like, oh, Mike, I can't. I said, come on, man. I'm fucking dying in here. Just get me a fucking nip. He's like, it's just medicinal purposes only. I got a cold. And I'm like, fuck you, you motherfucker. And he didn't. He didn't give me a nip. But, you know, he's still all right, you know. I wasn't too happy about that. But, yeah, getting back to that, you know, getting out, you know.
Well, talk about Concord. It reminded me of something. When I was in there, that was when the COVID started taking really effect and people want to leave because they have like asthma, people want to leave this and that, whatever. And then not the military, the people that just they just send them in there and they say, hey, we got a National Guard. Yeah. They posted up big tents over here. In the front of the Concord, when you come in, you got to test this and that, whatever. Long story short, they used to wake us up at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, any random hour, and check. If we had any signs of a fever, they put you in a room. They stick you out there. Look, this is crazy. They had 20 guys in a room. They're saying they had the COVID. When I was going out to the yacht, you know, lift weights and whatever, I thought, hey, what's going on? We all COVID and everything. And then 3 nights later, after it gets full, you see about 2 o'clock in the morning, like 5 or 10 ambulances taking them out. And they had all the white, you know, clothes on, put them in there. I never seen them again. I met one after I came out of jail. I said, what happened to you? No, they put us somewhere else, like different jails or whatever.
Yeah. What a scam.
What's going on?
What a scam that was, huh? You know, scaring everybody to death, wearing white.
I said, what the hell? I remember
when I first got it, you know, I was out and everyone's like, what are you doing? You know, I'm like, nothing. What are you? Quarantine. I go, I live in a fucking 2-bedroom townhouse with my father and my daughter. What am I going to do? Hide in the bathroom? Like, no, I'm not fucking quarantining. Such bullshit. But I didn't know you were locked up during that whole COVID thing. But you know what? The COs and the administration loved it. Just another excuse to lock the place down. You know, oh, one person's sick, lock it down. Oh, no visits. You know, so they don't get to fucking work. You think they want to do visits and search everybody and fucking everyone out in the yard and running around now? Yeah. Just another, and they're still using it to this day. Oh, someone got COVID, locking the fucking block down. Get the fuck out of here.
15 minutes a day.
I hate them motherfuckers.
Yeah, 15 minutes a day to make your phone call, take a shower, do your canteen, all the other stuff. That's crazy. That was crazy. And plus, like downstairs in Concord, it's kind of, when you have the phone, it's kind of dark. I couldn't even see.
Yeah.
What? Mess up? Well, somebody else.
And the Jays?
Yeah.
They closed Concord the other day. You see that?
They're going to put
of course, the migrants are going in there.
Migrants and everything in there.
They did it with Bay State. They're saying that they're not going to use it for migrants, but what do you think, Justin?
And what else are they going to use it for?
Of course, the migrants are going in there. Walpole's closed now.
Hmm.
And I was in Walpole for a while, and that was the only maximum security prison. Then they built SBCC, Shirley Max, Sousa Baranowski. But when I was there, that was the only one in the state. And that place is a dungeon, you know. It's just an old prison. And I'd like to. And someone sent me something on Instagram. They had a tour. They had like 2 days. They brought like, you know, private citizens in for a tour of the place, and that was it. Then they closed it. I'm like, I wish I would have saw that. It would have been cool to walk through there. You know what I mean? Like a lot of memories in there. And you know, if they open it up for migrants, I might have to disguise myself as a migrant.
Listen, that Walpole on that. on the top floor.
There it is, with the
and green. That heat ever stops. People are dying up there. That's crazy.
They turn those big exhaust fans on at night. Yeah,
on purpose.
Yeah, the heat there. Well, it's supposed to suck the hot air out of the block. That's a thing. But yeah, the heat in there, that was fucking brutal. That was brutal. The heat in Bill Ricker House of Correction too, in those cells, man. That was like a fucking brick oven. But getting back to that, you how much time did you do on it before you get out on parole?
My lawyer was saying, okay, you're just going to do 3.5 years. And that very day that I went to the court, they said, hey, things changed. You do 5 to 8 now. I said, what the hell's going on here?
Probably because you're Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
That's still going on.
That's got to be. That's got to be.
You know, now it's the other way around. Now you're white, you get hit.
Yeah,
we're getting ours, you know. Yeah, the tables have turned, my friend.
Oh, you know who lives? You know who lives by my house there? What's his name? Freckles.
Oh, Frecker.
Yeah. He was a good guy.
Yeah, Frecker was good.
He was good.
Yeah, Frecker is good. Man, Frecker was one of the good ones. He always used to work the whole Barica. But you got out. What year was that when you got out? You came to the. He came to my sober house, Justin. When he got out on parole. You know what year was that? 22.
Jesus Christ, I don't even
21?
Know.
21? It's been a while.
It feels like I've been here a lot longer, but it's not. I did a lot. Yeah. The small time that I did, the house, man, I done so much stuff. It's nice now.
He got out and he got a job. He's like a sand hog now. What do you do?
Basically, water and sewer.
Digging all the fucking ditches and all that,
big,
right?
Big stuff, man, yeah. In the town of, what town is it? Somerville.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, if we have details, right? All the cops say, listen, this place sucks. I mean, it's, what do you call it? It's a sanctuary city.
Yeah, I knew.
They cannot do nothing. They can't do nothing. And they can't quit, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
They got to stay there. What, I don't know.
We got two Lowell's a sanctuary city, I think, right? Justin, I'd say so. We got a hotel they filled up with immigrants.
Lowell? Which one is this one?
Right down across from the district court. The old Sheridan, the UMass Sheridan or whatever it was.
Oh.
Yeah, right across from the district court. So when I heard they were filling up with immigrants, I'm like, well, it might be some nice, Colombian and Venezuelan women. But no, they're all from Haiti. It's like a fucking Black Hawk Down.
Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, actually,
they're like burning tires out there and stuff.
Yeah. Actually, in the Market Basket, Market Basket next to my house, there's a lot of them there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there's and their carts, they got 2 or 3 full to the max.
Yeah. I mean, if I came into a country and I didn't have nothing and they told me, you can shoplift and it's as long as it's under $1,600, you can't go to jail. That would, even now, I mean, when I was, if you're a fucking criminal, like, there you go. There's your fucking hustle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can just go in and steal fucking $500-$600 worth of shit and they can't touch you and they don't even arrest you.
That's not much. Like 5 steaks. That's $600.
The old steak hustle. Remember that? Meats.
Well, they got cops everywhere now there. Yeah. That's crazy.
We have Market Basket?
Oh, yeah. Coming in and out all day.
Yeah. When I picked up Ralphie and got in my truck, I hadn't seen him in a little bit. We talk on the phone here and there. He left my house. It's been, probably been almost 2 years now since you've been gone. But he's done great, man. Just working hard. And after doing time like that, you get older.
It did change a lot, yeah.
You still think about making an easy buck here and there, I always try to fucking, anytime I can make a buck. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to fuck around with coke or perks or, Adderalls or none of that shit. Especially owning sober homes, It's like when I first got sober, my good friend Spiro, I was still going down to Florida and copping the perk 30s and coming back. And he's one of them friends, right? That, like, a real friend that'll call me out on shit.
Yeah.
Like, he'll want to fucking fight me if he finds out I'm doing something stupid. And my kid's mother called him up one time and she said, you think you know everything about Mike, but you don't know one thing. He's like, oh, really? Enlighten me. She said, well, you know how he's going to Florida every month? Yeah. Yeah, well, he's getting, you know, he's getting perk 30s. And Oh, my God. He wanted to fucking kill me, you know? And that was way back when the Patriots, when the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl interception was. 2014. Yeah. So statute of limitations for everyone watching is long gone. And that was the last time I went to Florida. I snuck down one more time. I went to the Super Bowl in Arizona. And then when my friends flew home, I dipped down to Florida real quick and saw the doctor and got one more script. And that was the last time I did any of that shit. You know, like I said, you know, your whole life when you're hustling and trying to make a buck, you know, it's tough to fucking stop it. But, you know, at the time I was just buying my first house. And I was going to open a sober home and he ripped me a new asshole. He said, dude, I'm vouching for you and pulling permits and you're going to open up the sober home and what? You're going to get caught fucking meeting somebody in Cumberland Farms parking lot, selling them fucking five perk 30s, looking like an asshole, make me look like an asshole and get yourself jammed up and back in jail. Like, is it really worth it? You know, nickel and diamond, selling a few pills.
Yeah, that's not.
And,
crazy.
And he was right. Obviously, he was fucking right. You know what I mean? That was just me, you know. Just trying.
Yeah, still
just,
there. Still
yeah,
there.
Yeah, still like, had that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, when they put me, I ended up being working on the kitchen in Plymouth, right?
Yeah.
They put me weighing out all the flour and stuff for the cakes. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm back home again.
I'm back on the scales, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Like, did you actually weigh the flour?
Yeah, I had to weigh it. Boom, because, you know, everything's weighed out, you know?
Huh.
I liked it there because the civil committees who passed by, hey, give us some more. I said, yeah. I said, what are you going to do for us? We're going to tell you what's going on. And they planned when they were trying to escape. And after three meals and we sit down, the TVs are there, we're looking. No, they're going to do it now. Boom, they ran. Oh, really? My God.
Oh, so I got civilly committed once.
Yeah.
It was Bridgewater back then.
Bridgewater.
That's when you, the drugs, right? The drug civil commitments?
Like, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. They give you the 30 or 60 days. Yeah, that happened to me once. I overdosed in them. In a courtroom, and I woke up. I was in a sheriff's van. I got sectioned of Bridgewater. That was a bad dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad dream.
It's a bad dream. Now.
Yeah, that was a bad one. But yeah, so you were with them guys off the street. That was the worst, you know, coming off drugs back then, coming off heroin and detoxing, and being in places like that. It was just a fucking the worst. This last March 17th. Ralphie, I celebrated 11 years clean and sober off drugs and alcohol.
You know? Oh, that's
And I don't miss it, man. I don't miss it, you know, especially the drugs. When I see people whacked out on drugs, there's nothing there that, you know, people could be blowing lines in front of me or smoking crack or doing anything, and there's nothing there. I mean, once in a while, I'll be in the airport. I'll be like, wow, it'd be nice to sit down. You know, when you're walking by the bars in the airport, right? And the game's on. And it's just, you know, it's just so anonymous. Like, no one fucking knows me. I'm in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, it'll just, you know, the thought will flow through my mind. Like, oh, it'd be nice to sit down and order a nice big fucking draft and some nachos right now. But as soon as I think of it, it's gone as soon as I think about it. Because I play the tape out in my head of how it's going to end, you know.
Usually,
when I drink, I'd want to get some coke, and it just even weed. I loved weed, and especially the weed now. I love the smell of weed.
Mm.
I want to smoke, but then I just think of the risk reward. Like, do I think marijuana is a gateway drug, and I'm going to smoke marijuana, and I'm going to end up shooting heroin? No, 100%, I don't. The same with shrooms and all that. I don't think if I did that, I would shoot heroin. But then again, I've been clean and sober so long, why do it? You know what I'm saying? Like the risk reward. All right. You know, why fucking do it? Everything's going great. Why fix it if it ain't broken? You know what I mean? So that's my whole take on that, you know?
Well, I got a little sad story. You know, when you get a bunkie, get to know each other a little bit, and you ask, hey, what are you in for? And I had this kid here. He's where was it? Norfolk, right? And he was 21, and he was awesome football, Puerto Rican and Dominican, but he didn't talk Spanish.
He must have been fighting with himself all the time, huh? Puerto Rican and Dominican?
Yeah, what the hell is Dominican? he wear one shoe and nothing. Well, you know. Anyway, I said, what are you in for? He said, well, I don't know what I'm in for. I said, what do you mean? Everybody knows. Well, he had, it was him and two other guys, right? Went to college, but they had, you know, shared, you know, the room, you know, for expenses, whatever. And he said, well, what happened was I was with two chemists, right? Guys, whatever. And they, he was the guinea pig, trying the stuff, the drugs, whatever, pills, whatever. But anyway, long story short, he tried a pill. He said, it's no good. I don't feel nothing. He took two more, right? Now, he ended up, hours later, he ended up going to work. He worked at a cheesecake factory, right? As soon as you get there, go to work. He falls was cutting out. The cake, this and that.
Falls out.
It hit him. He stabbed this person like 15 times, killed
him. No way.
Yes. Killed him. I heard a lot of sad stories, man, and that was the worst. He had no idea.
I think
I mean, there's got to be a law about that now. That's crazy.
I think I remember something like that. Guy stabbing someone fucking stabbing someone at like Cheesecake Factory.
I mean,
might be ringing a bell there. But yeah, what kind of drugs are there? That's a bad hit.
What the hell? What, 3 hours later? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I hate when that happens, Justin. Yeah. I overdosed once on Liquid G. I probably said that story in here.
Oh, the Liquid G stuff, yeah.
So I used to like the Liquid G, and I took a couple of caps of it, and that stuff would really hit you hard. And I took a couple of caps, and I didn't feel anything. And I took a couple more, and I didn't feel anything, and took a couple more. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm not feeling anything. And like three, four hours later, I went out to eat with that same kid, Spiro, and I'm eating, and all of a sudden it hit me, and I kind of remember a little, you know, going out, and I remember him saying, what'd you take? And, you know, I'm still trying to say, oh, nothing, you know, like, oh, fucking.
Was it like a mushroom effect or something?
No, what happened was, so when I woke up, I heard my Aunt Franny's voice, who he's close with.
Yeah.
My Aunt Franny's the best. She's like my mother.
Yeah, she's second mom, mine too, yeah.
So I woke up in the hospital and I was paralyzed. I couldn't even open my I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't feel my fingers on my toes.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, what's going on? Then I could hear the doctors, you know, talking, saying, what did he take? Gamma hydroxybutyrate and GHB. And he's saying all these street names for it. And when I finally woke up, they gave me a shot that put me in a full paralysis for 24 hours. And then it would wear off, and they had me answering questions by blinking my eyes once or twice.
Oh, my God.
I've spoken about this before, but what happened was I had just ate steak tips for lunch, and the doctor told me afterwards, when I was taking the caps of G, it soaked into the meat. And then when the meat digested.
Oh, my God.
When the meat digested.
Like a time release.
Yeah, 4 hours later, it hit me all at once. And, that was bad. But I remember waking up and they're saying, you know, if you know what we're saying, blink once for yes and two for no. But when I realized that I wasn't, you know, paralyzed for life, it was such a relief, you know, because when I first woke up and, I could hear my aunt talking, my ex at the time, my friend Spiro, I could hear them all talking. And you know, hearing beep, beep, you know, you're in the hospital. And I was thinking car accident. You know, that was my first thought, like, what the fuck happened? Because your first instinct is to wiggle your fingers and toes, and there was nothing happening there.
Oh, my God. You can hear him, but you can't respond. That's crazy.
So that's kind of like that, where I did something, and it hit me hours later, you know? And that was no fun. But here I am. But that Liquid G was good stuff.
I heard of it. I wouldn't do this. That's crazy. That's tough.
Yeah. You ever do that?
Oh, my God.
You should, try it.
Acid stuff. But, you know, that's, my God.
The Karen Reed case, like we've been saying all along. Man, there was a lot of people were really hate her. You know, like even when I talked about it, oh, fucking, you don't know. Like, you know, it's not like I'm up here fucking saying she's 100% not guilty. I'm just saying that case was funny. There was a lot of funny stuff with that case. If she was guilty of that, they did a terrible fucking job. I'll tell you that. And there was just way too much reasonable doubt. Way too much reasonable doubt. You know, with the fucking dog and selling the house and the taillight. I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. You know, I mean, you keep going back to her Googling. How long does it take for someone to die in the cold? I mean, that's a fucking weird thing. Did she Google that?
Yeah, she did. The lady did.
All right. So, I mean,
she's all done, my God. Hey, I would have been all done.
But the bottom line, they didn't prove that case, and they fucking butchered it. You know what I mean? I don't know what happened that night. She knows what happened that night. Those people in the house know what happened that night. You know, maybe he got his head beat in. She backed in. Who the fuck knows? You know what I mean? I know one thing. They didn't prove their fucking case. Yeah. And they fucking bungled it. Now, Michael Proctor, he's on the rubber gun squad now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Speaking of that, I have another... did I talk about Tommy Daugherty last time?
What was that? No, I don't think so.
Tommy Dorchester? One who got in trouble out in Malaysia?
No.
I never heard of that. Was in the news? I've seen the news all the time. I didn't hear it.
I'll show it to you. This kid, Tommy, I know, he went out to Malaysia. He'd go out there to work, and he went out there a lot. He'd get, like, you know, the 90-day visa.
Oh, yeah.
So he's working, and he disappears for a while. And another friend of mine, Mark Goodman, who has a softball game right now in M Street Park where I was supposed to go, he sends me a message. I hadn't talked to the kid for a few months. We had a little argument or something, but he would message me all the time and send me sports picks, you know?
Yeah.
So I hadn't talked to him for a few months, and all of a sudden, Mark sends me this thing from YouTube of him in Malaysia with all cops around him and all these photographers taking pictures of him, and they're walking him into court, and I'm like, holy fuck. He hit a guy in a bar fight and killed him. So he he messages me right afterwards, and we talked a lot about what happened, and they gave him bail. After a little bit, he was locked up in prison in Malaysia. But, of course, they have his passport. He has to renew it every 30 days. They won't give him a 90-day or a special six-month visa. So he's got to, you know, he had to bail out for $25,000. The lawyer was like $50,000. And they got him out, but he's stuck in Malaysia. And he was charged with murder. But I think he just got, it brought down to manslaughter. But when he was sending me the penalties for this stuff, one of the penalties at first for murder was 10 years in prison. And then public hanging.
Public hanging.
After the 10 years?
Well, not before. You're not going to hang here, then you do 10 years.
Well, it's not a good place to hang out.
Hey, that's the only time you do 10 years and you just want it to crawl by, right? Usually, you want the time to fly, right? So 10 years in public hanging. Another one was 30 years and 12, what was it, 12... lashes of the cane.
Oh,
Malaysia's the country where they cane you. They got like that bamboo stick, and they like tie you to a post out in the fucking downtown. And so
they do that in Puerto Rico too.
Hey, so he's texting me, and he goes, "I'll take a couple of whacks of the cane
to lower
my sentence." So I'm laughing, talking to him, and he said, "They say it hurts so bad, people pass out from the fucking." Pain. Could you imagine?
So every lash, it's time off his sentence? Like good time, lash, good time zone? That's crazy.
I'm not sure exactly how it works. But I know, I remember years ago, you know, time flies, right? But it's probably been fucking 20 years, right? You were probably a kid. There's some kid from the United States got caught out there. He like defaced something, like spray painted on some fucking religious mural or just the wall, whatever it was. And he got caned, you know, he got like four whacks of the fucking cane or whatever, and it can't be fun, you know.
Yeah, after that, anything with rhymes with cane, you're all done.
Yeah.
You run off.
Yeah,
see you later.
Like,
I'm all done.
What is it? It's like a bamboo stick, right?
It's literally just a big fucking.
It's a big bamboo stick, and like some guy gets up like fucking Otsuki.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and fucking just slashes you with it. So he was telling me, you know, save it, you know, his story when he gets out, but he was telling me a little bit about the Malaysian prison system. And it's nothing like home. It's nothing like here. You know, there's like no clean water. You're drinking like recycled water. People bathe in. You're getting like dysentery from it. And he said every night there's just thousands of mosquitoes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I love mosquitoes.
I'll kill them protein. I mean, whatever.
No. But, yeah, so he's not gonna fight the case, apparently. I guess he was in a bar. I don't want to talk about his case too much, but somebody might have hit him. Somebody hit him first, I don't know if there was like a delay in between him hitting the guy back, but he hit the guy and the guy fell and hit his head and died. And he had no clue. They went and dragged him out of his fucking hotel room where he was staying.
Oh my God.
And yeah, I'll show you the video of him being arraigned. It's pretty, you know, you watch that and you say, all right, this kid's in a lot of fucking trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no doubt about it. So when he sent me the video after Mark sent me the video, he sent me another one. And I put it on my Instagram, and he put it on his story. But he was like, you know, so many people were messaging me and him like, oh, my God, I went to school with that kid. I went to Mass Maritime with him. Oh, my God. You know, I went out with his cousin, and like nobody knew. He just went down there, and like
it was crazy.
It was really hush hush, you know. And maybe I'll give him a call right now. What do you think?
Go ahead.
Sleepy. Yeah, well,
we could be getting the cane right now too. You never know.
He'd probably be like, "What are you talking about, though, fucking?"
Let's see if he picks up.
It's different. It's 12-hour difference there right now. So it's at 9 a.m.
9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, he's over there right now.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna answer. He's all caned out.
I thought he did. I thought he just answered.
But what? He's got his phone and stuff? He's not locked
he's
up.
He's bailed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fucking hit. Imagine getting arrested for murder in fucking Malaysia.
That's crazy.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. I got a good one too.
Yeah, no answer.
I got a good one.
What's that?
All right.
You're not going to try to top the Malaysia story.
I think I could do it.
All
right.
I don't think you can top it.
I got to shut this off.
All right.
What it keeps going on for? All right. Walpole. All right. We're working in the kitchen, and from your window, you can see people that are in the hole.
Yeah, what, 10 block?
Maybe not the hole, but with they got to keep an eye on them or something like that. Or whatever it was. Maybe it could be in the hole, whatever.
Yeah, it was probably the hole. It was probably 10 block. Yeah, so, that was classification when you were there, right? It wasn't...
Yeah, classification, yeah. That's all done, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they closed the prison.
But anyway,
yeah.
I'm looking down at this guy going crazy. Why are you going crazy? Hey, this guy's give us more food. Put more food, whatever.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
Getting up.
Probably the DDU trays.
Some guy said, fuck you, whatever, after that. He went berserk. He took his clothes off, shitting, put it everywhere.
Shitting
all over the walls and everything. You see the cops coming in and everything. He's laughing. He does it all the time. I said, wow, this guy is crazy. Anyway, he got found. He did some stuff. Over here, Mass. He moved away. He ended up in. They grabbed him from the North Pole or something like that. Right? You know what he was doing over there?
What? Fucking with Santa Claus?
Oh my God! Killing people, cutting them up, and feeding polar bears.
That story. I don't know. We're gonna.
Yes,
Ralphie.
I'm telling you right now.
I don't know about this story. This sounds like a Sean. Was his name Sean Wick?
I don't even know his name. Jesus, I don't want to know him.
I think I know.
The polar guy.
I think it was,
they made a movie, Polar Express. I think that's the one. No, that's a kid's movie. I forgot. Yeah, that's a kid's movie.
I think it was Sean Hicks.
Well, it could be Sean Hicks. Yeah.
But yeah. So, Tommy, shout out Tommy Daugherty. You know, hopefully you can. You can beat that case and get you back stateside because, you know, there's nothing worse. But, you know, like I say to anybody, you get locked up abroad. I think I'd be all right no matter where I was. Just for the simple fact that I got a couple bucks. Like you, your family got some money, Justin. You'd be all right. You get pinched in Mexico or anywhere.
Oh, my God.
Anywhere. And you don't have any money.
Especially if you're Puerto Rican, you're done.
Holy shit, you're in for a tough, tough ride. But if they can get you over to that phone and you can send a Western Union to somebody, you know, I'm sure you're going to have a little mattress and, you know, I guess the drugs over there. He's like, the drugs in Malaysian prison? It's insane. Everyone's smoking ice. Yeah, it's fucking, God. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, ice. Yeah, he's not a, that's not his skilo. He's not a drug addict. He has a few beers here and there. He's a smart kid. He's a really sharp kid. He obviously, you know, alcohol, man. So much shit happens with booze. You know, get out late, drunk, you know, fucking shit like that. You can punch somebody once and they fall and hit their head. Just, you know, the worst case scenario, you know. Yep. Jumping crazy. Back to the United States. We get the Sandra Birchmore case. That's been real quiet, huh? That's been real quiet. Do you know about this, Rafi?
No, I never heard of that one, no.
So the Sandra Birchmore, I thought it was Stoughton, but is this in Canton too? Like the fucking...
It was Stoughton police, but I think it was Trident. The Stoughton police killed her, but they were arrested in Canton, I believe. She lived in Canton.
Well, they weren't arrested. No one was arrested for it.
Well, she lived in Canton. But
oh, okay. So this girl, Sandra Birchmore, a cop started having sex with her when she was 14 years old. And she went and with like this... Three different cops, two brothers. So they like groomed her. Then now she's like 19, 20, 21. And she's obviously has some fucking issues. I don't know. She had mental issues, what? But now they're all worried about it. They're thinking she's going to do something. They're married with kids. And one of them's still having sex with her. And they have a video the night she's found dead of this cop who denied he went there. Going in her apartment building. He's got the hood on. He's got the COVID mask. And you see him turning like this because he knows there's a camera right there in the elevator where he goes in. When you see this video, it gives you the chills. He went up there to visit her. No one hears from her since then. They go in her apartment. They find her. She's sitting on the floor with like a key lanyard around her neck. And the key lanyard is wrapped around a doorknob. And the coroner said she hung herself by sitting down with a thing around her, with the cops sneaking in and out of there. And it all comes out. The cops all resigned that they were having sex with her since she was 14. I guess statute of limitations are gone. But now recently, I don't know if it was an independent autopsy guy. He did an autopsy and he said, hey, this wasn't no suicide, man. This was a murder. I mean, this case should be 100 times bigger than the Karen Reed case. How's nobody talking about this? These cops are out there walking around. This cop fucking killed her. There's no fucking question. Zero. None. Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He's my next target. Fuck Sean Wick.
You already destroyed him.
I did. There was an article in the Boston Globe. Did I talk about that?
No.
It's a big article in Boston Globe where they quoted me as being the one who outed Sean Wick and started calling him out as a fraud. And, you know, the article basically said he's a fucking liar and pretty much, what do you say? Pretty everything I said, that article pretty much, you know, confirmed it. Confirmed everything I've been saying from the get-go. So hopefully, you know, he's done now, this fucking
maggot. I didn't hear that one. The only one I heard was that little girl, the 15-year-old with a 21-year-old guy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude, that was my friend, Scott Dickey's granddaughter. Scotty's dad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's Scotty's son's daughter. Yeah, 15 years old, going out with a 21-year-old kid. Kid goes over there and shoots her fucking 8 times. Said she cheated on him. It was the day of her 8th grade graduation. She doesn't show up for the graduation. They go over the house. I guess the father was away for the weekend or something. He was in Gloucester. Her cousin, Jimmy's the window, climbs in first floor apartment. She's laying there, fucking 8 shell casings all around her. I guess the boyfriend put some comments on Facebook. You know, you want to cheat on me? No, at least know the consequences. And that he took an Uber there and left in an Uber. There's a store across the street. They got video footage of him and her arguing out front. You know, then him walking in the house, and then she's, you know, that's it. She's never seen alive again. You know,
15 years old. That's crazy. Huh?
Yeah, 15 years old.
You can hear a lot of teenage girls. And from the other ones, the 13-year-old, the 14-year-old, you're dying.
I mean, what are you doing with a 15 doing a 20, 21-year-old kid? you know, some people are saying that, you know, he lied about his age. And
no.
I mean, I don't know, man. That's... I don't know. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Hop on the father? And a lot of people are saying, you know, there was a GoFundMe saying he was, I don't know if he's getting high. I don't know his situation. But they never had a wake or a funeral. I mean, I even donated to the GoFundMe, no matter what, even though the father wasn't there. And I was hearing a lot of bad stuff that she called him and said, oh, I'm afraid of my boyfriend and come home. And he's like, oh, I'm away. But, you know, you hear all this. I don't know if it's true. You know, all as I know is the kid, he lost his other son from a drug overdose. He lost his father from a drug overdose. Now he lost his daughter to a murder. So what am I going to do? Pile on this kid? He obviously grew up in a, you know, in a bad environment. A real bad environment. Yeah. And I'm not trying to make excuses for his parenting skills, but I mean, he's had a rough go of it, man. I donated a C-note to it like a gent. And, you know, I was hoping, you know, the girl had a lot of friends, like any kid, you know, in eighth grade, right? You know, I thought they'd have a wake or something for it. And there's, you know, there's been nothing. But I was close with that family growing up. Wow. I was good friends with the girl who got killed's grandfather, Scott. I was good friends with Scott's brother, Bobby. Good friends with Scott's brother, Brian. And good friends with Scott's brother, Darren. All of us hung around. We all got locked up together. And all four of them are dead. All four of them are dead today. You know? Yeah. So Brian was the last one to go, or Darren. Darren was the only one. And he liked to do coke, but all the other ones, we were all doing everything, you know, heroin, everything. And it's crazy that me and Scott were the oldest. No, Bobby was 1 year older than Scott. And then Brian and Darren were younger. And it's crazy when I think of it. All four of them are dead. The son, Scotty's son's dead. Now his daughter's dead. Like, you know, sometimes I've lost so many, I'm going to say lost, you know, friends, even friends that you lost contact with that I was friends when I was 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, my whole life growing up. So many people I know have died from overdoses and drugs. Yeah. That I remember I was at the Golden Gloves a few years ago and a kid come up to me, Allie, shout out Allie Quaylen. You know Allie?
Nope.
Good kid. So Allie Quaylen, I saw him at the Golden Gloves. He came over to me. He goes, hey, how's Tony? Talking about a kid I used to hang around all the time, Tony Souza. I said, oh, man, he died. He's like, how? I said, oh, overdose. And he goes, oh, how's Dave? Dave was his brother, who was my friend also. And I said, oh, he's dead too. And he's like,
yeah,
what do you mean? I go, yeah, overdose, you know? And he was kind of like stunned because we were always together, me and these two, Tony and Dave. And he goes, wow, sorry, man. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's all right. What are you going to do? You know, and I walked away and I was thinking about it, and I go, wow, it is kind of fucked up. So many people I knew that I ran around with, and I, you know, I know that I would be dead now if I, obviously, you know, if I kept doing what I was doing. I mean, I got clean right before the fentanyl really started coming around. I mean, I overdosed on fentanyl. I was in a coma for 3 days on it. But back then, it would only come around once in a while, and they'd call it like China White.
China White.
Yeah, and then it would be gone. But now that's all you can get out there. It's in everything, you know?
Everything. It's coming in like nothing.
Yeah, another tragedy, you know? But yeah, how you fucking 15-year-old girl with a 21-year-old fucking kid. But I'm just hoping, even though it doesn't happen as much as it should, that this kid gets it, you know? This kid gets it in jail, you know? Killing a 15-year-old fucking girl.
He's definitely going to get it.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Mr. Tough Guy.
It doesn't happen as much as it really should, you know? But yeah, let's hope he gets it. Ralphie boy.
Yeah, he gets it too, man. It's crazy.
So Ralphie now, from getting out on parole and not having nothing to being in my sober house, when I picked him up tonight, I went and got him. Beautiful house. You should see the work he put into this fucking house. The woodwork
so
out front,
little
the stone
time.
Work.
You know how many years? 20, 30. Back in the days, it would have took me 30 years to do what I did now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything changed. More straight. It's just getting it done. It's nice.
I mean, it's real. I mean, how the woodwork out front and the stone wall.
The stone wall is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking unbelievable, man. And, you know, I salute you to that, you know?
Yeah, I almost got in trouble. You got to be like 5 feet in so they can have like a sidewalk. They were thinking about putting a sidewalk. It's, oh, my God, but I put it right and everything. But they can't put no sidewalks in that street. That's
the city busted your balls about everything, right?
Oh, they're busting my balls for everything now.
Yeah. you're fixing up your house, making it better, and they're in there with a tape measure saying, well, it's got to be 4 feet off
you're
the thing.
You're 2 inches off.
You went off existing, though, right, with some of the stuff?
Yes, everything's there. Yeah.
Yeah. The place looks really nice, man. And, you know, congratulations for turning it around.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, people always say, oh, you'll never go back to prison. I go, I hope not. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say never. You know, crazier things have happened. You know, I went to a friend's wake.
Yeah.
3 days ago. Pat Cullen, his brother Peter was a friend of mine, and Pat was a friend of mine, and Pat was sober 15 years.
Mm.
He's in the Union of Boston, and he used to run the South Shore House in Quincy, which was a real no-nonsense halfway house. Like, this was an old... Now, everyone in halfway houses are on Suboxone and methadone, and, you know, everywhere, everybody's on
weed,
meds.
Baby,
and
too.
Yeah. Weed, everything, you know, they're on everything but roller skates. But in the old days, you go in a halfway house, and you couldn't be on nothing. And this was one of those places where you'd go in there for an interview, and it was almost like, you know, like a drill sergeant. Like they push you and try to like push your buttons where you'd snap and be like, hey, fuck you, you know, and they see you later.
Cool.
You know, and he ran this place, and he was just, you know, just a funny Irish kid, and he was sober 15 years and beautiful house, married, kid. And when I went to the wake, I talked to his brother and about what happened, and you know, my biggest fear. When I had this dental work, I didn't take any perks or anything, but I remember telling the doctor, if I'm in extreme pain, you know, have something. So when I call, because I'm not Superman, like you break your leg, you're going to need fucking Demerol or something. You're going to need painkillers,
yeah,
right?
That's crazy, yeah.
And that's what happened. He got an injury, broke his leg or something. They put him on painkillers. He was never a big drug guy, but he started drinking again. And in a matter of fucking like, you know, 5 years, he lost his job. He lost his house. He lost his wife. You know, lost his dog. He got fat. He was drinking every day. He got diabetes. Like, and when he was telling me the story, I was thinking to myself, you know, thinking, because sometimes you think you get it licked, right? I got 11 years sober. I'll never be like that again. Oh, I got the sober houses. I got the business. And when he was telling me, it was like, damn, it could all be gone like that. You know, it could all be gone when I'm in the airport and I decide to have one you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon, like a fucking gem.
Pabst Blue Ribbon, yeah.
But, yeah, so sometimes it's good to hear those stories and go to things like that because it makes you think, you know. Not out of the woods yet, sonny boy.
Yeah.
You know, but.
You guys stay focused all the time.
Yeah, but I'm doing good. But, yeah, that's about it,
Rob. When you had when you got your first, your first house there for the, you know. The
yeah.
People. What now? You got the second. Was the second harder? They made it harder for you to get all that stuff, or
no?
Well, it was getting tough. Permit, well, so many things.
Well, it's funny you ask. I learned after I opened the first sober house. I made the mistake of going down the city and pulling a permit. They say, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Oh, I'm opening a sober house." Bad move. Okay. Now the whole neighborhood signing petitions. Now they're saying, hey, you got to put a sprinkler system in. Hey, you got to do this. You got to do that. And it cost me a boatload of money. And I went down there with case law saying, actually, a sober home falls under a regular single family home. It's not like a rooming house. I don't got to sprinkler it. And they said to me, hey, listen, you got to sprinkler it. You can take us to court and maybe you win a year or two down the road. They said, but in the meantime, we're not going to give you the permit to do the demo and do the house. So they fucked me. So my second house, now I was an idiot. I don't tell anyone what I do when I start working. People start seeing me around there right now. Hey, are you opening a sober home here? Neighbors. No. So now I start arguing with the neighbors. Now I'm putting it on Snapchat, fucking around on Instagram. You saw my story like, oh yeah, wait till there's five guys out here with ankle bracelets, smoking Newports, you know? So the city of Lowell is watching my Instagram and Snapchat. And now the building commission is calling me up like, hey, what are you doing there? Are you going to open a sober house? What's your end game with that property? I go, what's your end game with your house?
Yeah.
I says, I'm just fixing this house up. I might sell it. He goes, I have it on good word that you're putting a sober home there and you got to have these regulations. They're going to be sprinkled. I said, hey, I'm telling you right now, I'm not putting a sober home. So they're watching my thing. Now all the neighbors are signing petitions, right? So now I'm thinking, you know what I did? I went and bought a for sale sign for the house and jammed it in the front lawn. Now all the neighbors walking by, hi, hey, yeah, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? The second I was done, I picked it up and chucked it in the trash and filled it up with, you know, ex-addicts and stuff. But that was my, I had to play a little chess with the neighbors. But right before I opened it, there was a kid, he lived down the street. And I found out his name was Brian Keene. So we stopped because every neighbor was you know, fighting me.
What, this is the second one now?
Yeah, the second one. So this kid drives down the street and he goes, hey, I'm sitting on the front steps. And I go, what? Because I'm battling with the neighbors now. I mean, unbelievably battling with them. Social media war, which they made a post about my house on some like Facebook group and took a picture of my truck. I did the roof. My dump truck was on the grass. And the daughter was like, Mom, tell them about all the shingles that were in our yard. And they tried to shame me on social media, not knowing that I had a following on social media. And the tables turned. And there was like 1,000 comments against them. The daughter deleted her Instagram and her Facebook. And I remember afterwards saying, hey, you picked a fight with the wrong guy on social media.
Yeah.
You know, but we get along now, me and all the neighbors, because now we're in there and the guys clean up everything. And I got a good house. It's not like a bunch of people getting high. We actually get along now.
Nice,
but
yeah.
This kid, Brian Keene, pulls up. He goes, hey. I go, what? He goes, hey. Is it true you're going to open a sober home here? And now it's right at the end where I'm already fucking, I'm done, right?
Yeah.
I go, what's it to you? And he goes, I just want to say, I think that's a real good thing you're doing. You know, I'm sober and I used to bat. I go, dude, get out of the car so I can give you a hug, all right? Like, yeah. I've been fighting everybody on this street. I said, finally, there's somebody, you know, who's in my corner. And that was awesome, you know? So that was that. But yeah, you can never... If you're going to do it, don't ever tell anyone what you're doing there till the day you fucking fill it up with people.
Yeah, I know the first one, the people that lived across, like, right there, they sold that building or something, whatever. Everybody had to move there.
Yeah, well, yeah. One of them's still there. But, I still battle with them, but not as much, you know?
Mm. Nice spot. That was a good
spot. They're not big fans of mine, you know?
YMCA's right there, this and that.
Yeah, the train station.
I remember when I first got there, I said, I'm going to go for a walk, and I still got my white shirt, my gray pants, you know, like... Walking around, going out, trying to get into CVS or whatever. I couldn't go in there, nowhere, because it was the COVID. You had to be over 65, whatever. I said, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Lower change a lot in this small time, man.
Yeah. COVID's a fucking scam.
I had no idea how to use phones. Yeah. That was all these phones. You got to be careful.
I remember Joey Donovan got out after 24 years. I had him on here and he says,
after 24 years,
with Joey Rodemaker. I got to get Joey Rodemaker on here. This is a certified psychopath from Cambridge, but very intelligent. And Joey goes, how am I going to learn how to use these phones? And Joe Rod, you call him Fruity. Fruity said, same way we all did, watching porn.
Oh, man.
But hey, that's it, man. Ralphie, thank you for coming on, man.
My pleasure.
Thanks for coming on, brother.
Perfect. Thank you.
And I forget anything else. Trump, Celtics Parade, Birchmore,
Celtics Parade,
Reed. I think that's it. And got some new Bean Shooter merch. Showed that last time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did I have this one on? Yeah, got some good ones. Yeah, that's it, man. 30, right? 30?
30 in the books.
30 in the books, man.
This is number 30, wow.
Yeah, let's fucking go.